Korkun kalkı trap sonsun. Trap sonsun, trap sonsun. Trap sonsun, trap donsun. Trap donsun, trap donsun. Tuni sonsun, hukçum durbulan. Dağdaş doldan durbulan borulda.
Yo, what's up, people? Adam Hunter here, giving you a brand new MMA Roasted podcast on Rockfin. Rockfin's been great to me. Make sure you endorse me at rockfin.com/Adam Hunter. That's why I'm giving you so many podcasts and comedy shows and kamikaze comedy and all kinds of good stuff. Today we got Stefan Bonner on the show, as well as Jeremy Kennedy. It's going to be a great show. Jeremy Kennedy is fighting for the $1 million in the PFL. Stefan Bonner is making his debut on Impact Wrestling. He's kicking ass in the wrestling circuit, and he's a great guy. Both great guys. So let's talk to Stefan Bonner right now. Okay, you're on the MMA Roasted podcast. How's it going, man?
Not too bad.
I was just calling to see how life is, man. It seems like your academy is kicking ass.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My one guy did a tournament the other day, injured 3 guys. I'm so proud of him.
Really?
Yeah, he's a little badass. He's 13. Little monster slashing kids.
13 years old.
Yep.
So now what do you, I remember you found a spot. You're like, I'm going to teach here. And now it's going really well.
I mean, it's just like everything I do, just a little hobby. Can't take it too seriously. Fuck.
But I see that you're actively coaching classes.
I mean, yeah, I teach Monday through Thursday.
Nice, man. And how's the stand-up comedy going?
I think I'm coming along pretty good. I'm ready for the stripes on my white belt, I think. You gotta come check me out sometime, dickface.
All right, there you go. And then how's the program?
Yeah, I did, what did I do, the psychedelic comedy?
Yeah, my friend Tom Baum said he booked you. Where like the premises, the people on the comics all got to do acid or LSD.
No, they didn't have any. They didn't have any, so it was mushrooms.
So you did mushrooms and then stand up comedy?
Yeah.
And how did that go?
Fucking great. I just realized that there's no way I'm going to be able to remember any fucking thing if I try to plan it. So, you know, just went up on stage and grabbed the mic and went to town.
And what did you talk about?
And it goes better that way because I can't remember shit, man. I can't plan jokes and fucking like, this is like, I just talk about everything, like fucking just a little of everything. How I got into this and, you know, what that means about me psychologically, and then fucking a little about fighting and a little about wrestling, life in general, and, you know, busting the balls of a couple other comics. It was great. You got to see it.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Now, I've never done mushrooms. Is this your first time doing it, or have you done it a bunch?
Oh, I mean, a handful of times. Yeah.
I look nervous. Even when I take edibles, I always feel like I'm never going to be able to come out of that high. So it just, I'm more of like a weed smoker.
Yeah.
Like high for like a half an hour, an hour. Edibles spends like 3, 4, or 5 hours, and I'm like.
Yeah, well, the best thing to do if you're scared of something is just to jump right into it.
I don't know about that, because I've always been scared of like getting anally raped. And I don't know if I just
want to
jump into it. So,
you just, I mean, that's pretty apt. That's pretty apt.
Right, of course. And
you know what I mean.
I understand. You definitely.
You know what I mean.
Of course.
Things that give you anxiety, you know?
And then, I'm doing this thing now. I'm driving to Arizona. I got the baby in the back seat. I got the dog here.
I'm doing your podcast on a drive to Arizona. Talk about, like, really multitasking it. Some guy's in the studio. Leave me alone. I'm about to do my podcast. Where's my cappuccino with the best way, like, L.A. style pussies?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's not me. That's not me. That's not me. How's the pro wrestling?
It's I'm doing great, man. Just at Impact the last couple weeks. Worked with Moose, Ken Shamrock. Yep. Got to check it out. It'll air tomorrow. Me, Moose, and Ken Shamrock.
Where is it going to air?
When's this podcast there?
Podcast, I can put it up whenever. I'm going to put it up next week, but when and where can people see it?
Uh-oh, someone's going through Barstow.
Yeah, pretty much. Where can people see this podcast? I mean, this thing. Where can people see this? The pro wrestling.
All right, well... Yeah, the 19th. Yeah, that Impact tomorrow, September 20th. Me and Moose and Ken Shamrock all involved in a big angle.
I mean, Impact is a pretty big deal.
Big deal, yep. And then doing a lot of other shows. It's been getting bookings. It's, you know, the momentum, I could feel it. I'm in the midst of some good momentum.
Yeah, I'm telling you, when I saw that you wrestled Kenny... That guy, my friend Kenny, whatever.
Oh, yeah. We're going to, November 9th down in Orlando. We're going at it again.
Yeah. Oh, you and Kenny are fighting again?
Kenny Lester. Gorilla Blanco. Yeah. Orlando, yeah, Florida, Blanco. November 9th. It's going to be a trilogy. Oh. Did I let the cat out of the bag?
Did you and Baroni make up?
No way, man. No way. Any guy who, you know, if something here to go through something really rough in your life and he derives a ton of pleasure from it, is he really your friend? Is that a guy you want to hang out with?
No. The world, you got to, if that's what happens, you
got to
pick.
You help over and over and over, and then it's just all over you, like not even acknowledging it. And, like, with everyone, that beauty bummed up, mooch off forever, like, almost 2 years. Like, I said, hey, man, if you were to pay me rent this whole time, we'd be, like, looking at least 10, 15 grand, and lost all the weedy smokes, another 10, 15 grand, and, like, he's going to, the minute, like, fucking he leaves here, he's going to call you fucking scumbag and threaten to kick your ass, and that's exactly what he did.
That sucks, because I like both of you guys.
Go be his buddy, man. Let me know how it works out.
Now, what do you think, by the way, of this whole Colby Covington angle where I think he left America Top Team, he was kind of feuding with Masvidal, I think he got new management, him and Poirier, so there might be a brawl if he sees him. What are your thoughts on Colby?
He's the best thing to happen to the UFC in a long time. Yeah. Should be more serious and respected. This is coming from the fat douchebags who fucking wouldn't last the fucking round with anyone, you know? Armchair quarterbacks. This is a disgrace. You need to be respectful. Who are you, man? It's Colby's sport, man. And he's doing what he wants in it. Fucking take it, you know, put up with it or shut up.
Right.
Like, he's backing it up, man. Like, you could do whatever you want. You're going to go in the cage, and it's someone else's job to try to tear you apart and fucking beat you to a pulp, you know? That's what someone else is getting paid a lot of money to do. Dana White's finding someone who will fucking rut Colby, all right? And that's what the sport's about.
How do you think Colby does against Usman?
What's that?
How do you think he does against Kamaru Usman, Colby?
Great. What's Usman going to out-wrestle him? I don't know about that.
Yeah. No, I mean, Colby's a friend of mine. I worry that if he alienates himself from American Top Team, then he's not going to get good training partners anymore, and that's going to affect
him. Dude, it's good. He's a stud wrestler. He's been on the ATT a while, man. He could go anywhere and train. He's at the prime of his life. He's in great shape. What's he need? Like, some secret technique they're going to teach him to... No, like, dude, he's an athlete, top level. Look how he's been doing. And he's been training there a long time. Wherever Jimmy goes to, he's going to sharpen everyone else up there, and he's going to be a benefit to that gym.
Good point. that's a very good angle. Now, as far as Asker and Maya, who do you think wins that fight?
Oh boy, honestly, like it's either, here's how I see it going. Either Maya catches him in a quick, crazy fluke. Not fluke. He's Maya. He's awesome. He, you know, Maya fucking is so slick. He gets you in that first round somehow, you know? But if Askren really feels him out, I think if he, like, makes it out the first round and a half, I think he'll probably get the nod. I don't, you know, he's going to go the distance for sure. So, I mean, I wouldn't bet on it, but that's how I see it. Hey, man, if it goes Maya, he's going to catch him in the choke or something early. Or if not, then Askren's winning.
Did you ever train with either of those guys?
Well, no, let's see. Damien, yeah. Damien came to Carlson Grand season like freaking... Oh, man, I think like 05, back before he even got in the UFC. He was just this Brazilian jiu-jitsu whiz that was on the rise. And then it was after that that I saw him in his first UFC fight. Yeah, so I was in the UFC before him. Believe
did
that?
Did you roll with him back then?
Yeah, of course.
And what was that like?
It wasn't like crazy. It was like a nice, smooth roll, but he was fucking, you know, ridiculously good. And you know, I think if he really tried to force a choke, like my skills back then, he probably could have got me. But, like, I didn't be caught in anything. But, you know, like, he's a good chance he probably wasn't trying his hardest. I know, like, I was, like, respectful roll, like, but, you know, I knew how dangerous he was, so I was playing it a little safe, too.
But was there ever a guy in like, the gym that you thought was going to be unbeatable and then would kind of go out there and just not perform, and then vice versa, a guy that, like, you were like, this guy sucks, or he's coming back,
Yeah, definitely, there was. But I can't remember his name.
Back. So who was the guy in the gym that you were like, this guy is the greatest, and then he kind of like whatever? Who was the guy that you were like, I don't know about this guy, and he was like a world beater?
I don't remember the guy's name. He never turned into anything.
Was it Roy Nelson?
Like, I got hit in the head a lot.
Was Roy Nelson like a guy?
No, I'd say if Roy Nelson's an overachiever.
No, I'm saying, was he a guy in the gym that you were like, I don't see how, and then he just goes out there and knocks everybody out?
I mean, yeah, like a guy who was the best. Yeah, definitely. Who in the gym you didn't think would do as good as you did and went out there and killed everyone? Hell yeah. He's freaking, so many people silly.
He's fighting Frank Mir again.
You know what? That should be a good fight. That should be a really good fight at this point, you know? Last one wasn't bad. I remember Frank got a takedown, which pretty heavy on top, and I mean, it was a long time ago, but I remember the fight that Roy, after that, was pretty arm-wearing. It was pretty tight.
Yeah, Roy Nelson, I mean, I'll always watch a Roy Nelson fight, because, you know, normally someone's getting knocked out, but it seems like lately he hasn't been, you know, he's kind of been winding down a little bit, but good fight. I mean,
he's in his 40s,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, totally. Now, Ken Shamrock has a bare knuckle boxing thing. Did he try to get you involved in that?
Oh, no. Like, well, yeah, I made it clear I had no... I've been asked,
like,
by everyone to do that, you know?
It's like Sokaju, I think Mighty Moe's in it.
And he doesn't blame me, you know? He does not blame me.
Well, it's like it's a four-man tournament. Like, it's like more than one fight in one night, bare knuckle, which that seems pretty crazy because people get cut bare knuckle so easily. How are you going to fight again 2 hours later? That seems kind of insane. But I'm definitely going to watch it. So, you know, that's crazy. Khabib versus Tony Ferguson. When this fight gets done, who do you like in that fight?
No, this is the dream fight, because if anyone will slither out, or if anyone's going to make Khabib tired from... But he's like a little salamander, you know?
I mean, I feel like Poirier, he had that one moment in that fight where he could have, in that second round, I'm like, oh, empty the gas tank. And I feel like he held back a little bit. Like, that was his one moment. But what do I know? You know, I'm not fighting Khabib. But, man, that was like.
Yeah. That's it.
Did you watch that?
That's all it takes. That's it. Sometimes that's all it takes. Just get a little more squeeze on that choke, you know?
And how's it going with, like, the wife and all the groupies? Have you banned the groupies from, you know, I know there were a lot of girls that were, like, seemed like these, like, mid-40 girls with, like, fake tits and, like, hot but, like, a little dirty. They seem to really like you a lot. Have you warded them off?
Well, I mean, I help them out a lot, give them good advice.
What kind of advice do you give them?
It depends. Like, sometimes one person needs to hear to go one direction, the other person needs to hear to go the other direction. You never know. I mean, it's always a different shade. But yeah, you know, I'm like, I love people, man.
You do love people. Now, whatever happened with that one kick, I know your coach, One Kick Nick, who is like a world champion kickboxer. He's also kind of an entrepreneur. He opened up a strip club that girls get paid in crypto, and somehow you were involved in the strip club. What happened with that?
It was, you know, on the weekends for the big fights. The place was happening, but during the weeks it was a ghost town, and they just couldn't afford to keep it open. Not making enough money.
But
I mean,
it was big
and a lot of overhead.
Yeah,
I was just a host.
Like, you're a host?
Just a host. So I just would hang out and bring people in the club, you know?
Now, did any of the girls ever try to, like, I know a lot of times, like, you know, women at the club are attracted to, you know, muscle guys that used to be fighters with cauliflower ears. Any of them ever try to pick you up?
Oh, no. That was always extremely professional, man.
Okay.
As was Mr. Baroni. Except when he got fired. Well, if you call it getting fired, you know, going off on the owner and, you know, yeah, going nuts on the owner is like not really getting fired, it's firing yourself.
But was it hard for you to resist? Because I know sometimes those girls would be very persuasive and, you know, you're only a man. So was it hard to be like, listen, this is not, you know.
To not give in the tape temptations of the flesh?
Yes, of course.
Oh, God, no. It's easy.
Good night. By the way, your wife gave my baby these hair bands.
But is this
perfect.
Such a big setup? You're just trying to set me up. Like, you're fucking with your wife driving.
I'm not driving. I'm not trying to set you up.
God,
I know.
I'll earn my wife our best friends and like, oh, it's fucking, yeah, fine, whatever.
I'm not, I swear. But your wife has the cutest hairbands made for my little baby. So thank you. She's very talented.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome.
She's super, super talented. Now, I'm going to be in Vegas again on December 15th. That's a big fight weekend. Do you want to do comedy again?
Yeah, I'd love to. I'm putting on the calendar now.
Good, 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 good.
All right.
You're very funny. So, now, it seemed like you're like a throwback wrestler. Like, you had, like, you know, the elbow off the top rope. You had a couple drop kicks. You had clotheslines.
Dropkick? What? No, dropkicks are the stupidest move ever. I do the Van Damme, the jump, spin, splits kick. That's a Van Damme kick, man.
I was a Van Damme kick, right.
Yeah.
Right, right. But it seems like a lot of these wrestlers, New Age guys, are doing, like, crazy off-the-top rope, like, triple Lindens or...
Yeah, they also weigh 150 pounds.
So you're not going to be the kind of that guy, right? You're going to stick with, like, the basics?
A 250-pound guy going off the top rope is good enough. Doing the Macho Man, like, could kill someone. That would kill someone.
Like, but didn't Brock Lesnar do, like, a backflip off the top rope? And then
he landed on his head? But since his bones are pretty much, like, steel, like, he didn't break his neck. Yeah. Yeah.
No. You're not going to do that?
Who knows, man?
Now, what about, like, this hardcore wrestling where, like, they do, like...
you mutilate, like, yourself? No, that's retarded.
Okay.
It's retarded. The wrestling is... you pull out blank, you go on there and put on a beautiful fight scene. I love doing fight scenes. I used to sit in front of the tunnel as a kid with my friends, and, like, we'd do these little fucking elaborate fight scenes and people would stop and be in awe of them at the ass-kicking they dish out, you know? But it was all a work.
Right.
You know, my buddy's dad, my next-door neighbor, we were good buddies, his dad's VHS video camera and make these movies, which were all, like, led to these fights and fight scenes. And, but, yeah, so... Yeah, this has been in my blood, man. I love martial arts and fighting, and now I even do pro wrestling. My dad took me to the Rosemont Horizon. How many times as a kid go see Hogan and Bundy and the Macho Man and fucking the Bulldogs against the Valentine Beefcake? And, dude, yeah, those are the days, man. That's what I wanted to be in the 80s. When I was in church one time, went around, what do you want to be when you grow up? I just wanted to be a professional wrestler. That's what I said.
Me too. Actually,
right? And I was a little kid. And then we all played Mercy that day, right? And this one kid was beating me in Mercy. And, you know, the game Mercy?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And I beat him in the balls. Like, God, I got him good. He was down for a while. I felt so bad.
I was the same way. I was obsessed with wrestling. Like, my bar mitzvah theme was Adam Snowhold's bar mitzvah. I was a huge... Piper was my favorite. Piper and the Macho Man were my favorite.
See?
Yeah. Piper's daughter's doing wrestling now.
You missed your calling, man.
I know. I thought you had to be bigger. I was like...
That's what I thought, too. And then I could, like, get back in the wrestling world. Like, back, I remembered, I said that, too, when I was at Philippi Sports Institute lifting. This was, like, 2000. I went there after I fought Jones, 2010, 11, 12. There's a studio that was freaking huge. And I go, oh, my God, if I look like that dude, I'd be in pro wrestling. And then, like, and now I'm getting back in touch with the pro wrestling world in the last years, and it's small guys. Like, I am big in the pro wrestling world. I work with Moose the other day, 290. I got to fly in armbar and little guy move, and it was, like, cool. Like, wow, like, now I'm the little guy. But, yeah, back then when I thought about doing pro wrestling, I was, like, figured, like, okay, if I did it, I'd have to be a little guy. I'd have to do top rope and spin kick type shit, and I'm doing that anyway. But I'm also... usually going with more guys, and I'm tossing them around.
What's your finishing move?
I mean, it's been choke out. It's been that flying jump up in and spin kick. It's been the Macho Man. So,
yeah.
It's like, I don't know. I just got to figure it out, whatever works. And the only thing is, like, ooh, the Macho Man's awesome. And so I was with MVP working for Impact. And he's like, I'm like, that's going to be my finishing move. He's like, are you sure about that? He's like, okay, you're going to be doing it every night. And I go, maybe I'll just choke someone out.
Actually, Bret Hart was my favorite. Bret the Hitman Hart. He was my favorite wrestler.
Yeah, I got to meet him.
He just had a certain thing about him. He was cool. Like, nothing about him was just really cool.
Yeah.
You know? So,
That's
great, though, man. That's great you're doing it. I'm really happy for you. I'm really happy for you, though. It sounds like, I mean, it seems like with your gym and more wrestling and your life, and I saw a picture of you and your son, Forrest. It was really cute. I was just, I don't know, man. Happy for you, bro. For real.
All right, brother. December 15th, right?
Yeah.
Sunday?
well. Keep it up.
I've been on the show in the L.A. Comedy Club.
Yes.
Well, all right.
Keep it up. Have a great weekend. Thank you, Stefan. I appreciate it.
All right, Adam. Take care.
Thank you, Stefan Bonner. You are the man. You are the man amongst men. Thanks for all you do. Let's talk to Jeremy Kennedy, former UFC star, now in the PFL, kicking some butt just as a win over Steven Seiler, going for that $1 million. Let's talk to him right now.
This is Jeremy Kennedy, fighter who record of 12-2, got a win over Steven Seiler in the PFL tournament. I think he's got a good shot of winning $1 million. How you doing, Jeremy?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, dude, anytime. I'm driving to Arizona right now. I got my dog on my front seat, the baby in the back. I'm talking to you, hands-free, of course. But how's Las Vegas, man?
Vegas is good, man. I actually just got back in this week. I was out in at TriStar. I'm doing a little bit of my camp out there. And now, yeah, here I'm in Vegas, and I'm finishing up for the last month.
Wow.
I'm excited.
Yeah, well, I mean, you should be. You had a rough start in the PFL, I'm not going to lie. I was shocked. I was like, oh, my God. But was that a wake-up call? Was that a blessing in disguise, that loss?
Yeah, I mean, it was and it wasn't. I mean, I can't think too far into it. You know, it happens in this sport. It was more of a wake-up call that, you know, it's a game of inches. You know, not that necessarily I got to work on X or Z or whatever. I don't got to have to, I trust in my preparation. It's just a little bit more of, you know, when it comes down to that fight, you got to be on and you got to be, you know, make no mistakes and just be sharp. And just changing my mindset a little bit fight day rather than training camp. You know, I had a great camp. Everything was perfect. And I kind of feel a little robbed, you know, so it sucks because I worked so hard to be able to perform and I didn't get that opportunity, you know. So I think it's kind of cool how things have came full circle and I get to get some redemption. And it's pretty cool out of all the guys in the tournament, he's the guy I get matched up with for this first round.
Yeah, and you know what? Last year in the PFL, like, everyone who lost came back and won in, like, the playoffs. It was almost like the advantage was for the guy who lost earlier on in the season.
Yeah.
Do you think it was a flash KO, or do you think that it was just a matter of your hands just not being as high as they should have been?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. You know, he caught me with a really good shot I know he threw that kick at a really, really unorthodox time. You know, we were really close distance, and he's kind of like leaning back, and he just kind of threw it out there. Obviously, my hands weren't where they were supposed to be. And, you know, I think it was a combination of everything, you know, like all the stuff that transpired the 24 hours beforehand, getting switched opponents and being given a southpaw from an orthodox. You know, I was training for an orthodox fighter, and then, you know, the day before the fight, I get switched to a southpaw who's a completely different style. But those aren't excuses, because that's stuff that you got to be prepared for in a tournament setting, you know? I mean, now I look at it and I just approach it differently, you know? Showing up fight week, I can fight any of these guys. If any of these guys miss weight and the other guy gets injured or whatever, they swap and swap everybody now. So I'm just ready to fight anybody at any time and all styles.
Yeah, but you're right, though. I didn't even think about that, man. I didn't even think about how much of an advantage it was for the guy, because he's probably only training with orthodox fighters, and you're probably not training with southpaws at all.
Especially that camp, you know, I wasn't expecting that. I was fighting Alexandra Bezerra, who is a traditional Thai boxer, doesn't do any switch dancing, very flat-footed striker, to a bouncy spin kicky southpaw, you know, and he was training for Almeida, who's roughly the same size, height, and an orthodox fighter like myself. So that's kind of pulling hairs here. It doesn't really matter, you know, that's all in the past, and it's just all how things all kind of played out is all.
No, but you're right. Yeah, you know what, you're right. It's like, you're right. I mean, you're right on everything. Everything you're saying is correct, because it's like, you don't want to make excuses, but damn, that's a pretty good excuse.
It's just the circumstance, you know, that happened, and I got to be ready for anything, you know?
So now,
and I just think that just shows. I just think that shows that this next fight is going to be a lot different now. You know, I've got a full camp of thinking about this guy. You know, not just 24 hours.
You know what's crazy about you, man? You've been fucked over by a lot of organizations. Like the UFC, you were like 11-1. Your only loss came to Volkanovski, who's like, I mean, that guy is a monster. He beat Jose Aldo. And they let you go because you left because they weren't getting fights. That's crazy.
Yeah. You know, it is. It's, this sport is kind of unforgiving. But I think it all points me in the right direction. And I think winning this $1 million is going to be kind of the cherry on top.
Right, 1,000%. I mean, even your fight against Kyle Boshnak, I mean, you look about how good that guy's looked since you fought him. I mean, that's a win over him. Much, you know, damn. That guy's a monster. Now, you and Kevin Lee are, like, following each other around. Because he was at Extreme, then he went to TriStar, then you went to TriStar to Extreme, now you're back at TriStar. I mean, have you been training a lot with Kevin?
We train a little bit here and there. But I think, we just kind of, his reasons were different. He was looking for a new home. And I was just looking for a different look for a short period of time. You know, Vegas and Extreme is kind of my spot. But there's a lot of Southpaws out there in Montreal. They do a lot of jiu-jitsu. And I'm Canadian and I've never been there. So I was just like, you know what? I'll start my camp out there, do a week. I did about 9 days out there. Get a different look, be uncomfortable. And then make my trip back out here and finish camp where I'm comfortable with my team, my group. And I got tons of time. You know, I've been here since Monday, so 4.5 weeks. The fight, and I'm fighting right here in Vegas, so it's nice to kind of just like blend right into fight week, and it's gonna be good here. I'm kind of glad with how everything played out, and I think Kevin actually was getting there the day I left, you know, but he was driving down, and we were kind of doing opposite. You know, I was testing it out and he was going there permanently.
Did you train with GSP at all when you're out there?
He was running, you know, he's a little bit bigger than me obviously, but he was running a few of the practices, which was pretty cool to see. And he's just, like, he's a super humble guy, you know, like, even just walking in the gym and there's, like, kids trying to take pictures of him and all that. And he was just, like, embracing it all. And it seems like he doesn't even get bored of it, which is pretty cool.
That's awesome. Now, it's crazy because you're this kid from this small town in Canada. You were, like, eating cheeseburgers on the wrestling team. You said that's where you got your nickname, right? Because you said you were, like, that was your... and then you go to Vegas, and Vegas is just strippers and porn stars and women and just meth and drugs and madness. How did you cope with all that?
Honestly, I've been to Vegas a few times prior, watching UFC events, just because I've been a fan for so long. But coming here was just all business. You know, I stayed far away from the strip. I still do. You know, I don't really go there for any real reason. And it's just training, it's just business for me out here. But other than that, you know, I don't want to get distracted, and those distractions are easy out here. So, I just stay away from all that kind of stuff. I stopped partying when I was younger, and you know, my career kind of decided my lifestyle.
So you haven't been getting laid at all? Come on, there's some hot chicks there.
No, I don't think my fiance would be too happy with that back at home.
Wow. Okay, so you got a fiance back in Canada?
Yeah, I'm pretty rooted out there. You know, we bought a house and got a dog and my fiance and all that stuff. So BC and Vancouver will always be home to me. But I just spend a lot of my time out here just training.
What does your fiance do?
She actually is a yoga instructor, and her family owns a couple of yoga studios.
Oh, so she's all
fitness
flexible
enthusiast.
And sexy.
Oh, yeah.
Good for you. You got to have crazy sex. Like, her legs are like the back of her head, and you're just doing crazy stuff with her. Good for you, man. That's what I'm talking about.
I appreciate it.
That's awesome. Yeah, absolutely, man. Have you already thought about what you're going to do with $1 million if you win it?
No. You know, I think I just want to, you know, invested in myself and you know, get ready for next year. You know, I'm more interested in winning this belt. You know, I want that title. The money's obviously the cherry on top, but I'm not chasing the money. I'm chasing the title and the championship and winning. The money's just going to be kind of all this hard work paid off.
Now, Lance Palmer is looking unbeatable. The guy, I mean, he shredded his double. It looks like he really found his groove. But you guys have trained together. So do you know some things like maybe he just can't stop an ankle pick, or he's susceptible to like a right left uppercut or something? Is there, do you know any cheat codes on beating Lance Palmer?
No, you know, he's my guy. You know, that's still, he's a close friend, and I use our time training together as more of just like, you know, confidence too. Like I feel like we're two of the better guys in the whole tournament, and training with him last year, getting him ready for the playoffs and the two fights in one night and all that. I just use that as an experience. You know, it's I saw him do it, and I was kind of doing it right alongside with him. So it just makes me, it kind of feels like I did it last year as well. You know, I made it all the way to the weigh-ins in New Orleans, you know, before that all fell through and stuff like that. So I just use that as more experience. And I just, like I said, I feel like it's kind of cool how we're on two opposite sides of the brackets. Like I feel, you know, it's my way to the million is seeing him in the finals. And that's the way I would have wanted to do it anyways. If we had to fight, at least it's going to be in the finals. Did I lose you?
You can get the belt where now with Bellator and the UFC and even ONE, it's a lot of like management and who you know and what.
I actually lost you. I lost you there, so I didn't really see what you were saying.
What I was saying is I love the PFL because it doesn't matter if you're from Uzbekistan and you have 7 Twitter followers. If you win, you win.
Yeah.
Whereas it seems like the UFC or Bellator, it's more of a show.
Absolutely, man. There's no shit talk. There's none of that, which is kind of cool. You don't have to pick your fight. You know, it's all laid out in points, and it's you know, seeding, and you win, you keep going. You know, it's not like the more marketable guy gets the better fights or anything like that. It's a tournament, which is pretty cool. And the two fights in one night is kind of something you don't really see nowadays anymore, so it's awesome.
Well, I'm going to do everything that I possibly can to get people to watch your fight. What day is it?
October 17th.
October 17th. I'm actually going to be, I think, in Vegas the next week performing at the Laugh Factory, so you better come to that one. You said you could come to my last 10 shows, and you've been standing me up and ghosting me ever since I've known you. So hopefully this one you'll show up.
Yeah, I'm due to come out and check one of your shows for sure.
But sorry for that. We'll have you back on after your fight, and thank you so much, Jeremy. Good luck with everything, man.
No, I appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot.
All right. Take care, brother.
Well, thank you, Stephen Bonner. Thank you, Jeremy Kennedy. You guys rule. Pleasure to have you guys on. I hope you guys enjoy your week. Thanks for endorsing me on Rockfin. And you guys, great. You guys are all great. I love you all. Thank you for letting me live my dream and for supporting what I do. Take care. Bye. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дөрвөл. Дадаж дуулан дөрвөл муу л.